Psalm 42, page 469. We'll be taking a break from our Genesis series starting today. I want to talk about Thanksgiving a little bit. And then next Sunday, believe it or not, is the first Sunday of Advent. And so we'll do an Advent series together and then pick up Genesis again sometime in January. We'll figure that out later. Today, let us hear God's word, Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of the Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of the waterfalls. All you breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we have read this beautiful song written over 2,000 years ago, we pray that the singer's lyrics would speak to our hearts and our minds and our souls this very day. For we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Picture it. It's a long oak table with place settings for 12 people, cloaked in a beautiful burgundy tablecloth, clean white plates, shimmering silverware, and two long taper candles lit with the flames of love. A platter of oven-roasted turkey, a big bowl of creamy mashed potatoes with a big boat of seasoned savory poultry gravy sitting beside it, a dish of brown sugar and pecan-crusted sweet potato casserole, and a basket of warm biscuits with melted butter. And on the hutch opposite the table sits a beautifully round pumpkin pie, waiting patiently. And there you are. You take your seat at the head of the table, and then you realize that you're the only one who's going to be eating the feast, because the governor has canceled Thanksgiving gatherings for everybody. Have you been thinking much about Thanksgiving and what that means for you? It's interesting, isn't it? In the midst of a pandemic, to have a Thanksgiving celebration, and if you heard the governor's order last Friday, basically banning extended families from getting together, no one outside of your household, you know that this Thanksgiving may be different than Thanksgivings in the past. Now, over the last week or so, I've heard a fair amount of conversation about this. Some people saying, "Oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do." And just sadness and disappointment and depression for those people who plan on following the rules. And I've also heard my fair share of civil disobedience. I don't care what the governor says. He's not telling me how I should celebrate my Thanksgiving. And then I've noticed a third response too. Maybe you've seen this one where no one's saying anything. That's the one I've observed here this morning. I haven't heard much. And so maybe we're still trying to figure out what's going to happen. But at the very least, Thanksgiving might be a little bit different this year. And certainly, not only with Thanksgiving, but as we have been living the last 9 months or so in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, we have certainly dealt with a fair amount of disappointment and dissatisfaction. And haven't we watched the opposite responses from a lot of different people? Everything from those who are very fearful, that have barely left their homes in months, haven't seen anyone, to people on the opposite end of the spectrum who said, this whole thing's stupid and I'm not doing it anymore. And then we've had these rises in cases and people get all panicked again. I just heard that yesterday morning people had to wait an hour to get into the grocery store. And already we're seeing a run on toilet paper once again. And that's one emotional reaction to what's going on. And other people who haven't been so fearful get frustrated with those who are. Well, I don't know what the big deal is. Everyone's overreacting. And we've seen all of these responses. And certainly it has caused either fear or frustration for every one of us sitting here together today. And so what do we do? How do we manage? How do we go forth? All of these emotions are expressed right here in Psalm 42. If you have your text open, I'd like to take a look at this for a few minutes today. Even before I begin reading in verse 1, if you can look at the subheading, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" And then it gives a little prescription here. It says, "To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah." Most of us have no idea what that means. Well, let me just tell you, a maskil, actually no one really knows for sure what that term means. It's an ancient Hebrew word, and the pure definition has never fully been uncovered. But most biblical scholars seem to think that this was a musical term, sort of depicting a song that teaches a lesson. And so people write songs for many different reasons. Sometimes love songs to celebrate their love for another person. Sometimes just songs to celebrate or to dance. But a maskil most likely was a song that was meant to teach us something. And certainly there are many songs written today for that same purpose. And so this was a maskil written by the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were a group of priests in the ancient temple who were specifically hired to compose and perform music for worship. So this was sort of like the ancient worship band or the choir masters who all got together and composed songs just like this. We don't know the exact context in which this psalm was written. Most likely it was a period of exile in Israel, where they had been conquered by a foreign nation and carried off as slaves to live in a foreign land. So certainly we know that from the images that we see in this psalm, that they are away from their home. They're not where they want to be. It's a time of chaos and upheaval, and they're trying to manage the best they can. An awful lot like what we're trying to do in the midst of our pandemic today. And so we see the choir master, the sons of Korah, begin to write in verse 1, expressing these same emotions. Look at this. "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." What a beautiful image of a deer running through the woods, exhausted, panting, looking for water to drink. Now here we are, right in the midst of deer season in Vermont. So this is an image that speaks to many of us very closely. And as a matter of fact, I'm looking at a number of kids in our congregation who've shot deer in past weeks. And so good job, kids. Keep them on the run. Keep them panting, because that provides images for the psalmist to write for us. Just as a deer going through the woods looking for water, desperate of thirst, so he says, so my soul longs for God, for the living God. This is an image of drought, thirsting for God in times of drought. Look at verse 3. Some sadness and disappointment and frustration. My tears have been my food day and night. Can you imagine eating your tears day and night? Weeping in the morning, weeping in the afternoon, weeping at night. Hearts filled with sadness and brokenness. Memories of the way things used to be. Frustration that things aren't the way they're supposed to be right now. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Most likely a reference to the foreign nation that held them captive. Saying, go ahead, Israelites, you believe in your God. Where is he now? In the midst of exile. In the midst of slavery. Where is your God? Call upon him. Why isn't he coming to help you? Perhaps some of us sitting here this morning have felt that way in our own lives. Maybe it's the pandemic, but maybe some other form of suffering or difficulty that we've gone through. Have you ever asked God that? Where are you? Why don't I feel your presence? Why haven't you answered my prayers the way I thought that you might? And so the psalmist is quite honest with God. Where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. And here was the sons of Korah, these worship leaders, remembering their old job, remembering how they would lead people into the temple and singing songs of joy and praise to God among this festive throng, this celebration. All of you are sitting here in church this morning, and that's great. But there are some members of our congregation that we haven't seen since March. Too fearful, too debilitated, and they haven't been able to get out or see anyone. And I can only imagine for them the feelings of longing, the thirst for their souls. For if we're away from God in the presence of others for too long, our soul dries out and becomes parched, and we thirst for God, for we need him. And so here they were, most likely suffering in exile, not knowing when they were going to get through this difficult time. And constant memories of the way things used to be. Even as we sit down at our dinner tables this Thursday, for many of us who don't have the same extended family that we normally do, and things are out of sorts, and we remember the way things used to be. Even church on Sunday mornings. You remember when we didn't have these blue pieces of tape on all of our pews and there were a lot more people here? Remember the days when we didn't have to look at each other through masks on our faces? We were just watching a movie last night and Jennifer says, look at all those people not wearing masks. It's almost like a forgotten time. Like the world has changed, and it has in many ways. And so sometimes we go through times of drought. But can we still be thankful even in the midst of these times? Notice the refrain of this song in verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Even in the midst of the times of drought and parched and difficulty, and our souls are cast down or down in the dumps and singing the blues, can we still be thankful? And that's what the choir master is singing about here. That we hope in God, knowing that even as the people of Israel would not be in exile forever, that God is their salvation and would one day deliver them. So one day God will deliver us from this. But we must keep our hope and our eyes fixed on God, who is our salvation. Thankfulness in times of drought, verses 1 through 4. And then in verses 6 through 10, we see a stanza of thankfulness in times of drowning. Drought on one hand, not enough water. And then look at verse 7. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. And so in the first part, the deer can't find even a stream of living water to get a drink. And now all of a sudden, it's the complete opposite. Where deep calls to deep, the deep sea, rushing waves, breaker after breaker, crashing over the rocks. Have you ever been to the ocean and watched the waves crashing over the rocks? One after the next, after the next, after the next. And so often, that's the way life feels for us. You get through one difficulty, and wham, here comes another one before you even have a chance to get up and get back on your feet. The roar of your waterfalls. So often life feels like this. We have a pandemic. Then we have racial tensions. And then we have a contentious political election. And that's just on the national scale. So often in our lives, either ourselves or a loved one gets diagnosed with cancer. And then we're in a car accident. And then we don't have enough money to pay our bills. One thing after the next, and it just feels like the waves are crashing over us. And so felt the psalmist here. But look in verse 8, how does the psalmist respond to these times of drowning? By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? You see how these mixed feelings are. On one hand, putting hope in God, but also feeling the pain of oppression from every single angle. Isn't that the way so many of our lives are right now? And so can we be thankful in times of drowning? Verse 10, as a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? And some people in our nation are saying that right now. If God is really there, then why are we still in the midst of a pandemic? If God is really there, why did my loved one pass away? If God is really there, why did I get this diagnosis? And it's true, so often we don't understand why things happen in our lives the way that they do. But we can put our hope in God because we really do know that He has our best interests at heart. The repeated refrain in verse 5, it's repeated again in verse 11, almost verbatim. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Our souls get cast down. And what's the remedy to these times of disappointment and frustration and fear and disillusionment? It's the same thing. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. That even in the midst of difficulty, even if it happens to be you and your spouse and no one else eating Thanksgiving dinner, can we be thankful? You bet we can. Because we know that God is our salvation. He has saved us in the past, and He will once again save us in the future. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself came to earth and suffered in every way that He might identify with all of our suffering. And even as we celebrate holidays in ways that are different, just know that Jesus didn't get to celebrate all of His holidays the way that He wanted to either. For on Passover, which was sort of the Israelites' big holiday, everybody together, slaughtering the lamb, gathering and eating and celebrating what God had done in the past, this would be the very night that Jesus was betrayed. that would send him to the cross to suffer and die. The God who sent his own Son to save us from our sins will surely deliver us from all of our discomfort even today. And so whether you're going through a time of drought or drowning, let's listen to what the psalmist says. Put your hope in God. It was exactly 400 years ago that the pilgrims who left the Netherlands crossed the Atlantic Ocean in 65 days on a ship called the Mayflower. And on November 9th, they spotted land. And at that very moment, when the pilgrims finally saw land right off the coast of Cape Cod, the elder of the church, William Brewster, opened up his Bible and turned to Psalm 100 and read it, exactly what we read in our call to worship this morning, offering praise and thanksgiving because the 65 days on that ship were extremely difficult, and many of them were lucky to be alive. And then as they got off the ship and over the next few months, the weather turned cold. And because they suffered from a lack of shelter and diseases such as scurvy and general conditions on board, many of the men were too infirm to work. And listen to this, out of the 102 passengers that came across on the Mayflower, 45 of them died that very winter. Almost half didn't survive. And yet it was just a number of months later that they were able to plant their crops, and then in November of 1621, there were 53 pilgrims who celebrated the very first Thanksgiving with about 90 Native Americans. Take your bulletin and turn to the front cover. We have the beautiful painting by Jenny Augusta Brownscombe titled Thanksgiving at Plymouth. You can see the Atlantic Ocean in the background, still a sailboat out there, some Native Americans on the far off left, a house on the far off right, a picture of what the first Thanksgiving might have been like. And there we see the elder William Brewster with his hands folded right in the middle, offering a prayer of thanksgiving to God as people are seated around the table. We think our Thanksgiving might be a little bit different this year, maybe a little bit of sadness, a little bit of frustration. I can't imagine celebrating the first Thanksgiving knowing half of the passengers had already died. And so as we grumble about not being able to do all the things that we want to do, at least we're not grieving half of our loved ones passing away within 9 months. 53 pilgrims, 90 Native Americans, amidst venison and oysters and corn and other things, eating together, thankful for all of the blessings that God had poured out upon them. It certainly was not ideal, and so it is for us. So much of life is not ideal, but can we still give thanks to our God? I think we can. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Psalm 42 and for all of the emotions that it expresses. So many of the emotions that we're feeling even here today. Lord, I pray for each person in each family sitting in our congregation this morning, that you would bless us with peace and prosperity. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be thankful, not only on Thursday, the national holiday, but as Pastor Vaughn shared already, that we would be thankful every day of our lives for all that you have given to us. For you are the God of our salvation, and we look to you in hope this day. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we conclude our service of worship, I ask that you take your bulletins and turn to our next hymn, which is printed for you there. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Let us stand and sing.